My name is Marshall. If you don't know me, I'm the youth pastor here. And we're going to be talking about mothers this morning, and we're going to be celebrating mothers. And I actually have a really kind of cool privilege. This is the first time I've been able to speak on Mother's Day, which is kind of neat and interesting and unique for myself. But I also have the privilege that my mom is here today, so that's neat and a privilege as well. So that's awesome to have you here, Mom. But with that said, too, we all have mothers. Even if we never knew them, we all had them. Yeah, we didn't just pop out of thin air, or we weren't carried on a stork like the cartoons. We all have a mother. Someone that carried us inside of them for the 9 months or whenever. And that person is our mother. And I gotta think that being a mother is probably one of the most difficult jobs in the universe. Besides of having the task of having a child live inside of you and grow inside of you, once a child is born, they're at your beck and call. That you're supposed to take care of them. You have divine responsibilities of nurturing and caring and protecting them. And these responsibilities don't start at 9 and go to 5. You're on the clock 24 hours, 7 days a week. And there's no sick days for mom. Your child does not stop being hungry when you don't feel well. And when you have a fever, your child does not just stop going to the bathroom. This is one of the reasons why I'm happy to be a man. Because I have this excuse of the man flu that renders me absolutely useless. And so when I get sick, I'm pretty useless. But mom, when she gets sick, she just keeps trudging along. And maybe that's just me. I've heard of a couple of cases of the man flu where we get pretty useless. But moms really don't have that many sick days. And we understand that moms are integral to the family, right? They're just a pillar of the family. But they're also vital to society. And I'm sad to say that motherhood is under attack in our society today. Somehow, people look down on this beautiful thing called motherhood. That staying home with children is a lesser calling or a lesser thing to do than working. That carrying a child inside of you is a curse and not a blessing. The world is attacking mothers and in a whole, women in general. And this is a terrible atrocity that the church needs to fight against. And understand how God has made male and female and how he has made them unique. Today I named my sermon, Celebrating God Through Nurturers. And that's what we're going to do. Before we dig into some scriptures, actually, why don't we just spend another minute here in prayer and then we'll dive right in. So, Father, we do thank you for mothers. We thank you so much that they have been a part of our life, that even if we don't know them, that they carried us inside of them. Lord, we thank you that through mothers, you show us a piece of yourself. Lord, I pray this morning that we would celebrate that. We would celebrate you and how good you are and how that is manifested in the mothers that we see around us. So, Father, I just pray that you'd be with me as I speak, that you'd give me clarity of speech, and that you would just be blessed by us celebrating the mothers around here today. So, Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. So, we're going right back to the beginning. We're going to start with Genesis 1:27, which is super important. So Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This fundamental truth is sometimes overlooked. That God created male and female in his image. This means that we can see godly characteristics. We can see the image of God in both male and female. And today, particularly, we're going to be looking at mothers. So I have a chart that we need to look at, because even just talking about how the society is attacking motherhood and women in general, we need to understand this stuff. So this is the chart. So we understand in Genesis 1:27 that the Trinity, the triune God, created male and female, what I say by design, complementarian. Now what I mean by complementarian is this. It means that they are both created in the image of God, that they have equal value. They both have the same image, they both have the print of God on them, so they have same value, but they're different. They complement each other. They have different roles and different responsibilities. One of the things I love about my wife is that she's not me. She complements me. If there was two Marshalls, life would be crazy. But there's not. I have a wife that complements me, and that is such a blessing. And that's the whole idea of complementarianism, is that we have equal value. Male is not better than female, or female is not better than male, but we just have different roles and functions, and that we complement each other. But you see other roots that sin and our fallen world has given us. One being sexism, which crushes women and gets rid of their dignity. And the other one is radical feminism, which gets rid of the uniqueness and beauty of women. And it tries to turn females into males. So these are two ways how society attacks this idea of complementarianism, biblical complementarianism, is one, the sexism side, and the radical feminism side. And that's stuff we're fighting against. Because we have to understand that we are made in God's image. And that God made women unique and different than they made males. And this is fundamental truth that we need to understand to really love those people around us and to have a healthy society and healthy relationships. But the main point I wanted to get out of this chart this morning is from Genesis 1:27. Basically that God made male and female in his image. And therefore, when we look at mothers today and we're celebrating mothers, we can see the image of God through them. We can learn from God, or we can learn from mothers about God's characteristics and his nature. And so we're going to do that by looking at three points, three different things of how moms show us the character of God. The first one is this. It's a Hebrew word called Rechem. R-A-C-H-A-M. Rechem. If you want to pronounce it right, you probably have to use a lot of phlegm. But this word is translated womb. But most often it's translated compassion and mercy. See, somehow God knew that the best way to tell us about his compassion, his tender love for us, was through the example of a mother's womb. This word, rachem. The womb being the place where mothers show her tender love for her child, even before they have seen the baby. The womb is a safe place where the baby is protected and by the mother's body, and it is nourished and begins to develop and grow. And God tells us about his character through this word, rachem. One of the things, I was reading a book called Nurturing the Nations, where, I've been really kind of studying and kind of coming up with some of this material. And he likes to coin this rachem. He calls it womb love. Womb love. Mothers have womb love. No other reason that there's a baby living inside of them and they have this untangible, divine, innate thing that they just love that baby. They have that rachem. We see this example of God in Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6. And this is when God comes down and passes by Moses. His glory passes by Moses. And this is what it says. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, and faithfulness. The first thing he says after, when proclaiming his name, he says, the Lord, the compassionate, which is the rachem. The first thing of how God describes himself when passing in front of Moses is saying, the Lord, the one who has womb love. And that's how God explains himself, and that's how God lets his glory pass by Moses, is explaining about who he is. And it's interesting, that's the first thing he says. He doesn't say anything else. The first thing he says, the Lord, the rachem. God says that part of his character is this rekem, this womb love. He's God full of this womb love, this tender compassion. Like the compassion that a mother has when nurturing a baby inside of her womb. And we could not understand this rekem without the mothers here today. We could not understand this without your example. Another beautiful example of this rekem in the scriptures is in 1 Kings 3. There's a situation where two prostitutes have kids. One accidentally smothers one of their kids, and so she claims the other one's kid as her own, and so they have this big dispute. Okay, so this is in 1 Kings 3. They have this dispute, and you know, they're like, no, this is my kid, no, this is my kid. And so they brought it to King Solomon, and we know that God gave Solomon wisdom. And so King Solomon decided to do something to see whose baby it truly was. And so this is what it says. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order. Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love and her son, love for her son, and said to the king, please, Lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. This word love in 1 Kings, the woman whose son was still alive was deeply moved out of love, which is actually the Hebrew rekem. She was so moved by her womb love that she was willing to sacrifice her baby. Say, fine, you can have him. If it means life or death, then you can have them. I have this rekem, I have this deep, tender compassion, love for this child that I want no harm to come on this child. So you can have them. So that's another example of how rekem is used in the scriptures of this woman who's willing to sacrifice having this child so that child could live. King Solomon in a story, having wisdom from the Lord, understood that was the true mother. With the one being willing, he saw the womb love and he said, okay, that must be the real mother. That's interesting. In Psalm 39, it says that he knit us together in our mother's womb. See, it's interesting when we think about this. God of the universe rekems us, rekems you. He has love for you, like that mother who has this child growing inside of her. So thank you, moms, for showing us the Lord's compassion. He chose you to display that. So that's the first point, is that rekem, that womb love. The second thing of how moms show us the character of God is through nursing. And we're going to have 3 points in here. Hi, girl. See, apparently there's a jealous condition that husbands can get when a child is born because a special bond is formed between mother and child when nursing. This special bond is so tight, it's one of those inexplicable kind of things when you see it. That the first thing after birth is that the nurses encourage you to nurse, because then there's that bond, that connection between mother and child, and that connection is not easily broken. And so when the child is hungry, or when the child is upset, or when they have a dirty diaper, or whatever, they cry, and they're crying out to their mother. They're crying out of this bond, saying, I'm looking to you for assistance. But there's a special bond between mother and child when nursing. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? And have no compassion on the child she has born. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Interesting that the compassion, that same here is the rekem. That's the same word. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no rekem on the baby or on the child she has born? God is saying that this special bond, you see this bond between mother and child, he's saying that I even have a specialer bond. I have a tighter bond with you than that. That he's saying that the bond between me and you is even tighter than that bond that you see between mother and her child. That even that she may forget, I will never forget you. The second point with the nursing is that a nursing mother provides comfort. You know, what do you do when you have a crying baby? You give it back to mom. Or when it needs a diaper change, you give it back to mom. Right? There's that special realization that mom brings comfort. In Isaiah 66 again, and the same with Isaiah 49 that we just looked at. It says God, obviously, Israel is going through a rough time. They're in exile. They're really feeling like God has abandoned them. And then God is showing himself as this nurturing and loving person. And he uses the mother, a mother example in this. And so it's a beautiful thing that we can see mothers, how God says, you know, these mothers really show how much I love my people. So Isaiah 66 verses 12 and 13 says, "For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." That's a beautiful picture. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. We start to get a picture of God in these verses, of just how much he truly cares and loves us. And we get that physical picture through our mothers. The third part with a nursing mother is that they provide nourishment. It's interesting that Peter, when he was writing his epistle, actually alludes to this. He says in chapter 2, the first three verses, he says, "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tested that the Lord is good." I don't think if we don't understand that the God of the universe has this rakem, this womb love for you, and he wishes to have this special bond with you and comfort you, then I don't think we have tasted the goodness of God. And I don't think we'll crave that pure spiritual milk. And what is that pure spiritual milk? It is God himself. We get this picture from nursing mothers that they provide nourishment, and God is saying, come to me if you need nourishment. If you want to grow up in your faith, who do you come to? Come to me. Crave pure spiritual milk. Get rid of all that other stuff. Come to me so that you may grow. One thing I think we often neglect is that just the fact that mothers have a huge impact on a child's faith. That a mother nurtures the child's faith and displays that in her own life. And we've heard stories of that this morning with Faith. That's just amazing. And I have a story from my own life too with my mother, that when we didn't always go to church on Sunday mornings, and the times we didn't, we usually had a service on the trampoline. And I have to tell you, and I don't think I've ever told you this, Mom, but I have to tell you that really shaped how I look at church. She would get me and my sister together, and she would give us different jobs. You know, okay, you're the worship leader, and you have to speak, and blah, blah, blah. She usually did everything, but we just like to be a part of it. But it showed me that church was something more. It showed me that church wasn't just scratchy sweaters and a boring service where we went and ate out afterwards. That there was a point to it, and that I could be involved in it. And that through that, my mom nurtured me in my faith. She showed me that church was so much more. So mothers nurture our faith as well. Okay, so the first point is that God has this womb love that he displays in mothers. Second one is that he has this bond and he can comfort us and he nourishes us just like a nursing mother. The third point that I want to make this morning of how mothers show us the character of God is through her protective wings. Now your mom does not have feathers, but she has a protective nature about her. She wants to shelter and shield you from harm. I think one of the most dangerous things in nature is getting between a mother and her offspring. And this happened to me once. I got between a cow and her calf, and the cow tried to kill me. And the cow almost succeeded, to tell you the truth. But it was one of those realizations of you don't get between a mother and her offspring. In Psalm 91, it says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, and from the deadly pestilence he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." We're going to look at the image. God is actually comparing himself to a mother eagle. And we're going to look at another verse at that as well and kind of explain that. But I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but I have heard story after story of the lengths of how mothers will be willing to sacrifice their own life, be willing to sacrifice comforts just to protect, just to shelter her kids. I even heard a story of where a child was trapped under a car and somehow the mother just like, I don't know, using her superpower mother strength, decided to lift the car and the baby got out. I don't understand. But somehow our mothers have these protective wings that they wish to shelter us and protect us. And I don't know how many of you have actually read the book Harry Potter or seen the films, but there's an interesting part in it where this bad guy is wanting to kill Harry as a baby. You've seen. And this bad guy kills Harry's father and he goes to kill Harry and his mother jumps in front and takes it. And that love that the mother showed actually becomes this protective barrier around Harry Potter. And so it's just a cool picture of mother's protective nature, that they're willing to do whatever it takes to shelter their young ones. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 and 12, this is a song, part of Song of Moses. It says this, "In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. The Lord alone led them," or led him. "No foreign god was with him." Kip Ingram says something about this verse, something about the mother eagle, which God is comparing himself to in these last couple of verses. He says, "The mother eagle is larger and heavier than the male. She bears the eaglets on her wings when it is time for them to leave the nest. The mother eaglet stirs up her nest to get the young out on their own to hunt their own food. Then she takes them on her wings and swoops down suddenly to force them to fly alone. But she always stays close enough to swoop back under them when they become too weary and weak to continue to fly on their own." Through this powerful image of God as a mother eagle, we can understand God as a nurturing and supporting us when we are weak, yet always encouraging us to grow and mature. Like I said at the beginning, I think being a mother is probably one of the most difficult jobs in the universe. Finding this balance between sheltering and yet teaching the children how to fly, how to grow and mature. That's a hard thing to do. We even get a powerful picture of God wanting to shelter us through Jesus in Matthew 23. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing." That's a beautiful picture of Jesus wanting to be that mother hen. And just even a sidetrack from the topic of mothers today, I think the question is, are you willing to be gathered under the wings of Jesus? Are you willing to surrender to him? Are you willing to just run to him in your time of need, like a baby chick runs to the mother hen? There is another powerful image that we get when we just prayed for a forest fire. And this is a story of a forest fire when he was looking through a wreckage. And again, it's a beautiful example of mother's protective wings, but also in extension of how God has these protective wings for us as well. This is a story. After a forest fire had devastated the backcountry, forest rangers began the process of assessing the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, huddled on the ground against the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the eerie sight, he nudged the bird with a stick. To his great surprise, three tiny chicks scurried from under the dead bird's wings. The protective mother, aware of impending danger, had sheltered her offspring against the base of the tree and had covered them with her wings. She could have flown to safety, but had chosen instead to remain steadfast when the blaze arrived and the heat began to scorch her small body. Because she had been willing to die, those under the covering of her wings continued to live. That's a beautiful picture of Christ, isn't it? Coming from a mother, those protective wings. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Moms, for showing us the character of God. There's a beautiful poem as well. It's called Scars of Love that I want to read. It goes like this. If a man came to me and said, I am your Christ, I would ask him to show me his hands. I know my Christ by the love which defines his character, the love that gave him strength and desire to give his life in exchange for mine. There is no greater love than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friend. I have never seen Jesus, but he knew me and loved me even before I was born. He gave me life. He died on the cross to save it, and no mark was left on me. When I see him, I will know him by the scars that bear witness to the unfathomable magnitude of his love for me. I know my mother by the love which defines her character, the love that gave her strength and desire to offer her life in exchange for mine. There is no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. My mother knew me and loved me even before I was born. She gave me life. When I was a baby, 12 stone steps threatened that life. But she held me so tight and close that every cut and bruise fell on her own body, and so no mark was left on me. So, Mother, if when I get to heaven I don't recognize you, show me the scars on your arms that bear witness to the unfathomable magnitude of your love for me. Thanks, Moms, for showing us the character of God. Moms are a huge blessing, aren't they? How they care, how they have that Rakam love for us, how they nurture us, and we have that bond with them, and how they love us so very deep, and they have these sheltering wings. They want to protect us and shelter us. But more than this, they point to someone. They point to the triune God. And this God wishes to nurture and protect and care for us. And he uses moms to display that, to make us understand what he is like. And the best way he could teach us these characteristics about him is through giving us moms. So today, thank your moms for being an example of God in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you have given us moms, that you, even if we don't have a mom in our life right now, we understand that you use them to show us your character. That when we look at our moms, that we can see a part of you, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you would bless the moms here in this room, that this week and today they would just feel special, that you have chosen them to display pieces of your character. And Lord, that is awesome. So Lord, I just continue to ask that we want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate just how good you are, and that you just show yourself to us in different ways. And so God, just continue to work in our lives as we grow. May we crave that pure spiritual milk, and may we come to you, Jesus, as chicks come to the mother hen. Lord, I just ask that today we would just learn and we'd just be in awe of who you are, God. So be with us as we just continue to celebrate you, Lord. Jesus, we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Thanks, guys.